South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we've got a smoking hot half hour coming up for you real estate fans and local watchers of what's going on here locally. We've got Ambrish Biswala. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Portman Holdings. Ambrish brings over 18 years of global real estate experience to his role at Portman Holdings, as well as a strong corporate strategy and property development skill set from his broad geographic and work exposure. Prior to joining Portman, he was the development director of ALDAR Properties, PJSC in Abu Dhabi, UAE, where he was responsible for a development portfolio in excess of $30 billion. Earlier in his career, he was a development manager for the Greater Union Organization for the Middle East and India. Prior to that, Ambrish held various senior positions with Coopers & Lybrand Consulting and the Tata Group. He has worked with the USA, India, and Middle East, South Asia, and Australia across a broad spectrum of property types and responsibilities. Ambrish has a Bachelor of Commerce with Honors degree from the University of Rajasthan, India, and an MBA from the Melbourne Business School in Australia. He's a member of the Urban Land Institute, the Atlanta CEO Council, and a charter member of TIE. We're going to discuss global real estate trends and his firm's bid to redevelop the Miami Beach Convention Center. Welcome.
Hello, Jim. Well, I should say good morning from Shanghai.
Oh, my gosh, Ambrish. Thanks for calling in from Shanghai. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you calling in.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure. Oh, and I have to tell you, you handled my family name very well. You know, even I struggle with it, but it's all I have.
Oh, high five to you. Well, I got some practice, I think. I work on this, and I butchered everybody's name. I tried for 10 minutes to make sure I got yours right. Now, we have some things in common that I want to lay out on the table so people can hear and they can listen in, and they're going to really appreciate this. First of all, I worked in the Public Assembly Consulting Department at Laventhal and Horwath when I graduated college. Some of our consulting assignments included the Knight Center, the Miami Beach Convention Center, the Tampa Bay Baseball Group, the Georgia Dome, Bud Selig, and the Milwaukee Brewers. We did the Moscone Center. We did Chicago, Orlando, the Orlando CVB. I personally did the feasibility study for Pleasure Island. In addition, one of our common threads is that I'm part of the ownership group of One Peachtree Center today, which your founder was the design guy for. I've done urban land brokerage all over South Florida for multifamily. Our firm sold some retail on Lincoln Road. Now everybody sit down and let's talk about two guys who know what's going on in this space. So why are you in Shanghai?
Well, we have an office in Shanghai, Jim. We've been in China since the early 80s, or I should say the late 70s. In fact, we were the second foreign company to come into China.
Wow, that's great. And then you're also in Atlanta and you're also in Mumbai, right?
Yes. So basically our current footprint, other than the U.S., is India and China and South Korea and Hong Kong.
Wow, so you've got a real good global perspective. You know, some of the signs point to some slowdowns across the world, maybe in Asia, maybe in Europe. What are you guys seeing?
Well, it's very interesting, Jim, and you know how real estate goes. It's always in cycles, and it's really kind of driven by where the capital wants to go and how capital perceives risk. So clearly right now, in a global way, the U.S. Is a very, very strong destination. A lot of capital wants to be in the U.S. in the real estate business. In China and India, we see a very interesting phenomena. There's a lot of talk in the media really about a slowdown at a certain level. But at the ground, in the larger cities, we see very strong ongoing demand for real estate. And really what it's driven by is that there is a population, there is growing affluence, and people want a place to live in, and they need somewhere to shop and somewhere to go and have fun. And that continues to drive these markets.
You know, we see all of these cities that are being built in China as they reposition their rural communities into the urban centers. I got to believe that each one of these new cities provides an opportunity for you and your organization to provide mixed-use projects, hospitality, office, residential, and I got to believe you're doing some trademarks out there, too.
Yes and no, Jim. You know, we like large sort of urban settings, mm-hmm. and so our focus in China really is Shanghai and Beijing, and then Shenzhen and Guangdong.
Okay.
And so we haven't really ventured out beyond those markets, and there's enough happening in those four cities to keep us busy for a period of time.
Oh, that's great. Now, we've talked a little bit about things that are going on around the world, and you mentioned how the international investor in real estate is still focusing on, I guess, the stability in the United States, among other things. And I guess that drives you to some of the projects that you have going on in the United States. We know that you guys have been one of the finalists and one of the recommended winners for the design competition here on Miami Beach. Are you doing any other projects in the United States right now?
We are, Jim. So we have a number of deals happening in San Diego and in Charlotte. And then there's other markets that we're looking at. It's a very good time to be in the U.S.
Well, now you're doing, and those markets too as well, mixed-use projects or just simply single-use?
No, they are mixed-use. So, you know, Portman's philosophy, and John Portman, when he founded the company, really put this in place, is we like interesting markets where capital wants to go. And we like mixed-use, large, complex mixed-use developments. And one of the things about our company is, you know, we are not a volume developer. So we really select the few developments that we go after. The developments we tend to get involved in generally are longer term, as opposed to, you know, a 2 or 3 year project. They tend to be 5 to 7 year deals. And that's what we like. That's what we like to do.
It seems as though your projects typically put a stamp on whatever environment that you're in. And I'll just go back to the first one that I ever knew about, which is One Peachtree Center, which to me was always a beautiful feature in the skyline of Atlanta.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, John Portman, downtown Atlanta, as it stands today, the firm has done in excess of 19 million square feet. Mm. And to put that in context, you know, the Miami Beach project, which is a very significant, very exciting project, all of it put together is just about 2 million square feet.
Wow.
And so he's really, in a way, defined downtown Atlanta. And he has a very interesting view about this. You know, he's an architect developer, and he was very heavily criticized for that in the early 1950s, but now he's lauded for that. And Harvard University recently endowed a chair in his name as architect developer.
Wow.
And what he likes to do, you know, he's very much about placemaking. And the Portman legacy, both John Portman and Jack, who's his son,
mm-hmm.
Really believe about creating something which is which can be enjoyed by people who use it, who live in it, who work in it, who visit it. And it provides a very strong financial return for people who invest in it.
Well,
and that's always been a guiding philosophy for us.
It sounds like you're all about creating a place and a place that's enjoyable and functional.
Absolutely. You know, real estate is a human phenomena. You know, people react to a place. So if they see a garden, they react in a certain way. If they see a beach, they react in a certain way. You know, Lincoln Road draws a certain kind of reaction. And so it's not something we do in a sort of dark basement somewhere. It's out there. And we are really very much about people and about creating an experience.
Well, I want you to hold that thought, Ambrish, because we're going to break early because I want to spend a longer segment talking about your thoughts and visions on Miami Beach. You've laid out some of your corporate philosophies, and in reviewing your designs, it's obvious that they're in play in Miami Beach. So if you can stick right with us, we'll
Absolutely.
Be right back after this short break with more about Portman's vision for Miami Beach. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and we're on with Ambrish Biswala. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Portman Holdings, or the international development and exhibition developing firm from Atlanta and Mumbai, and he's calling in from Shanghai, and we're talking about the Miami Beach modernization and expansion plans. Welcome back. Now, Ambrish, we were talking about your vision, Portman's vision, the way that they create public spaces to be enjoyed and to be effective. And in looking over your proposal, we're talking about modernizing, expanding the convention center, adding an 800-room convention center, a hotel, thank God, and finally, a ground floor ballroom, refurbishing the Jackie Gleason Theater, adding the Latin American Cultural Museum in a new building, and 125,000 square feet of retail and restaurants, 300 apartments, and adding significant parking. Now, tell us a little bit about your overall vision, Ambrish, and where you want to take it.
Absolutely. You know, we tend to take a very holistic view of projects that we get involved in, and we know that this one is a very important project for the folks who live in Miami Beach. So let's just start talking off about convention centers, right? So a lot of cities in the U.S. and in the world are trying to build convention centers, but not everyone will succeed. And there are certain things that convention attendees and meeting planners look for, basically things to do beyond attending a convention that Miami Beach offers very, very well. So we believe, first and foremost, that this is a market where a convention center can be very successful. As we go beyond that and we look specifically at what we are dealing with over here, you know, Miami Beach is unique in what it represents really as a way of life and a statement. And it has a convention center which is in a very exciting location with its proximity to Lincoln Road and the beach and the residents. And so as we looked at it, we really wanted to focus on sort of, I guess, five key things.
Okay.
One is to balance the urban plan. And so right now, you know, when we came to the convention center, our impression initially was that when there's a convention or a meeting in town, it's a nuisance for people who live around there because there's all this truck movement and all this traffic and noise. And when there's nothing in town, you have the empty parking lots sitting out there, and there's this kind of hole in the middle of this urban grid.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we wanted to do first and foremost was to really create an urban plan that confines the convention center activity to the center of the site around Convention Center Drive and sort of restores Washington and Meridian back to a residential area by putting residential out there, creating green space and walkable spaces. So, you know, everyone likes the notion of green space and park spaces, but unless they are activated and unless they are planned in a way that they can be used in most weather conditions, they're really not used. So, you know, you have Collins Park, for example, which is a very nice space. It's very close to Miami, to the beach, but it's not very actively used.
Yeah, so I noticed in your plan that there's a good linkage between the different spaces. You give some coverage to activate the transportation on footpath between the convention center and Lincoln Road. Is this sort of what you're talking about?
Absolutely, Jim. So we spent a lot of time looking at how to create the green spaces and how to connect really all points around the convention center so it didn't sit like an isolated box, and then to create something that people wanted. And to do that, you know, in addition to our own team, we brought in West 8th, who did the well-regarded Soundscape Park, and we also got in a company called Space Syntex, who did all the pedestrian movement planning for the London Olympics.
Wow.
And spent a lot of time making sure that we created something that would actually be used by people. So one is the urban plan. So it's about green spaces, connectivity, heights. And then the whole reason for this project is the convention center, right?
Yes.
So none of us want to land up 5 years from now in a situation where we've done all of this and the convention center still doesn't work.
No.
And we've had a lot of experience doing this. In fact, we own the America's Mart, which is the largest wholesale business trade mart, including a convention meeting center in downtown Atlanta. It's about 7 million square feet.
I've been in there. Friends have space in there that they do business.
And then you know how it works.
Oh, yeah.
And so we spent a lot of time making sure that the convention center layout, the truck loading, access by people, all of it works very, very well. And I think we have a really good solution to the convention center. The next piece then is the financial plan. And, you know, there's a number of metrics on that, but I think the key metric from our perspective is that our plan costs less to build by about $75 million, which means that the city has the money available to do other projects that they may want to tackle. And we give the city more back in ground rent by a significant amount, all of which means that the city really has resources available to do other things. And then we have a very strong arts program. You know this, Jim. Miami Beach is really getting established as a significant arts destination.
Oh, yeah.
And the Art Basel show is a very significant show. And so one of the things we've proposed is a roof art program where we intend to work with the community and with Art Basel and invite a significant artist to do an installation on the roof that would perhaps be unveiled at the time of Art Basel, stay up for a year. And I think that's going to really reinforce Miami Beach as an art destination. And the proximity of this installation, the Gleason, the New World Symphony, and the Culture Center that we are planning, all of that reinforces a very strong urban arts destination. And then finally, we have the Delos concept, and we haven't really talked a lot about it, but, you know, there's a lot of focus now in the community on wellness and well-being, and that's basically what Delos is about. So it looks at things like quality of air inside buildings, quality of water, hygiene, walkability, food choices, and we are looking at, and we've basically partnered with Delos. And we're looking at branding this a Delos Certified Convention Center and Hotel. And so for the kind of meeting groups that Miami Beach wants to go for, you know, the medical groups, the high-end convention attendee groups, they look for these sort of things.
Oh, yeah. I know in general real estate that the LEED certification type of thing with environmental stuff is really important. And, you know, maybe I'm an old man, but I remember when a guy got a Legionnaire's disease attending a convention in a hotel with poor circulation. And the number one problem for 30 plus years with that convention center is there is no connected hotel that's convention center quality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the key things we are addressing. So in our plan, really, everything, all the elements within the site are well integrated. And then the site itself is very, very well connected to Lincoln Road because that's where people will want to go, and to the beach and to the beach hotels and to the community. And so now with this plan, when there's a convention or a meeting in town, the residents don't really know. It's not a nuisance because the trucks are all hidden away. The traffic is in the middle of the site, and life carries on. And when there's no event in town, there's this wonderful green space with all the activity around it. That's an amenity, and it adds to the amenity in Miami Beach.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question because you talked about the connectivity and the interface and the blending into the neighborhood. And I know that there's a couple of very important things on that property or by that property to our community. There's the garden, and then there's the Holocaust Memorial. How are you integrating those locally focused things into your plan?
Well, we think those are very significant and very important elements. And so really what we have done, if you look at our master plan, is there's almost a direct line of sight and a pedestrian connectivity which runs from the Holocaust Memorial and the Botanical Garden all the way to the Soundscape Park. And therefore, it really ends up connecting the north end of the site to the south end in a very visible, very easy way.
Well, that's great because those are two very powerful things in our community. I have a very strong history with both different facilities, and I do think that keeping the natural part of our community together is important. What is the process that you expect going forward, Ambrish?
Well, you know, this is a complex project. And I think the city manager and his team have really been working very diligently to make this come about. So where we are right now, the city team is undertaking a number of background checks just on constructability issues, the financial plan proposed by the teams, the convention center layout. And we expect that this will lead to some sort of a recommendation from the city team in early July, around July 10th or 12th, and that leads then to a decision by the mayor and the commissioners on the 17th of July, and then we go into a public referendum, which will be sometime in November.
Well, Ambrish, I look forward to meeting you and the rest of your team when you come down for the final presentations. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I've reviewed your plan. I've enjoyed our talk here. It's obvious that you've given some great thought to it. It does provide some excellent integration and connectivity. It's a fabulous structure. We didn't even get a chance to talk about all the retail that you're going to bring over to Lincoln Road. So maybe we're going to have a follow-up after they select you to recommend you right before the election.
Absolutely. Happy to do that, Jim, and thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to be right back with our UHealth Health and Wellness segment. We want to thank Ambrish Biswala, the Chief Executive Officer of Portman Holdings, for calling in all the way from China to give us his input on what's going on Miami Beach. Ambrish, thank you so much for participating in our show today.
Thank you, Jim.
It's my pleasure.